this is Tony Lloyd. Being a broadcaster for many years, I've witnessed some great stories in the music industry, and now I want to bring as many music stories to you as I can in this series of podcasts. My goal is that they will inspire others making their way in the music world.
Music Stories with Tony Lloyd.
Gary Motes, welcome to Music Stories. How are you?
I am doing fine, thank you very much. Yeah,
totally good. Now, you've got a recent single out called Stand and Fight, which we're going to play a little bit of in a minute, and you can tell me all about it. But you basically, you're a heavy rocker, aren't you?
Yes, I am, and always have been, right back to the age of 10 and 11, I think, yeah.
Why?
Why? Just I was drawn to that. You know, the glam rock sort of drummers, you know, and something interested me about drums, you know, and I suppose I was in the boys' brigade as well as a young child, and so I loved all that kind of thing with the drums. That got me excited, so that's where I started, and got my first drum kit, talked my dad into buying me it, and the same as everyone else, and the rest is history, you know, off you go.
What was the reaction when you were practicing drums in the house at home?
Well, my mum was deaf in one ear, so that helped.
Bless her.
I know. My dad was never in, but the neighbours hated me, you know, because, you know, I was practicing to Status Quo and Thin Lizzy and anything, you know, anything rock. So,
fantastic. Yeah,
windows open into the street, you know, and...
Yeah, understand. Yeah,
definitely, you know, I used to have the whole band in my room with a full PA in my bedroom with the windows open, you know, and everybody, we lived in a four-lane road, you know, four lanes of traffic, and the old one old woman across the road, she never stopped complaining. She she said that the vibrations were coming down through my house, going through pipework under four lanes of road and up into her house, and she could feel the vibrations, you know. What was she on, man, I tell you?
Well, it sounds like she might have been enjoying those vibrations. What do you think?
There you go.
Yeah. Excellent stuff. Okay, so you're basically self-taught then. You taught yourself to play the drums, the Status Quo and stuff?
Well, yeah, you know, watching Top of the Pops, you know, just watching how it was done. And then my dad took me for drum lessons, you know, and went to this house, and this band were all living in this house, a bunch of hippie guys, you know, back in the 70s, you know, and all dressed up. We had the caftans and stuff and the long hair and the patchouli oil was reeking the place, you know. But anyway, and I went, you know, and my dad went away to the pub for half an hour, I think, and the guy says, yeah, come back half an hour and see how he's getting on. And he come back and he said to my dad, I don't need to teach him, and he knows how to play the drums, you know. He's been playing that same beat for half an hour, basically, and he hasn't stopped, you know. That was him teaching me drums. You just go, dun, 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 and that was it, you know. And he just went away, made a cup of tea or something, you know.
And what do you think about, you know, drum machines and all the software and stuff now? I mean, do you actually need a drummer these days? I suppose you do on stage, but, you know, when you're recording, do you use electronic versions?
When I'm doing my home demos, I do just play a straight beat on the drum machine, you know, I'll just write songs over the top of that. But when we go into the studio, it's definitely live drums that we use, because it's still good fun, and you never, something else might just pop into your head at a time. And
yeah, sure. And a bit more space in the studio as opposed to your bedroom, I can imagine.
Yeah.
And do you play any other instruments, Gary?
Other than drums?
Just drums.
No, I'm saying other than drums.
Other than drums.
No, I write all my own songs, so I play guitar.
Yep.
Don't play lead guitar. I don't know why. I can say I sing, and, you know, I'm the front man of Burnt Out Wreck, you know, so Yeah, I sing, I play guitar, and play bass, can do a bit of keyboards. Yeah, I've got a bit of everything, really, if I'm pushed to do, asked to do it.
Now, you were in a successful band called Heavy Pettin' as well. Tell me about that.
Yeah, we were semi-successful. If I was successful, we'd be playing at Wembley this week, wouldn't we?
Well, yeah.
We'd still be going. But yeah, that happened back in, we were all from Glasgow and we got together around about 1982, 81, 82 maybe. And we got signed up to Polydor in London and 1983 and Warner Bros. Publishing. And yeah, before we knew what we were doing, we were in a studio with Brian May from Queen. He was producing our first album. And then we went on tour with Ozzy Osbourne on his Bark at the Moon tour. And we went on tour with Kiss on their Lick It Up tour. So that was all in the space of a few months in 1983, going into 84. And you know, played Wembley with Kiss, you know.
Wow. What was that like? What was playing Wembley like?
It was the curtains opened and there was 10,000 people sat there staring at you, you know, and I was behind the drums and I felt like about the size of a mouse, I think, you know, I was ever so small, you're just like, ah, what?
Ooh, yeah.
And you just don't, you can't explain it, you know. I know I've just have, but that's exactly what I felt like, just so small, but it's so great to play it, just so great.
Fantastic. Have you got lots of photos and video of stuff for you on the stage at Wembley?
No, I don't think that we've ever seen a picture of that, you know.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it? Yeah.
Obviously 1983, it wasn't the, you know,
Yeah.
it wasn't nowadays where everybody in the world is filming you and taking pictures of
Yeah.
you.
Yeah, no mobile phone cameras. I think we should have a little listen to Stand Up, Stand and Fight is the single we're gonna talk about today. Tell me how it came about, because you wrote it. So tell me what's the background behind Stand and Fight.
Well, it's I wrote it during lockdown. And, you know, and obviously it was one of the most horrendous times in our own lifetimes. And watching the TV and all the rubbish that was coming from it, I just started looking at things. And I remember I was looking at, you know, I had the guitar riff for it going. I'd had that for about a month or so before lockdown. And, but I didn't have any singing. And then I come up with the stand and fight thing because I was watching TV and it was about women being trapped in the homes with alcoholic partners or husbands and getting beaten up, basically, you know. And obviously they can't escape because there's nowhere to go and we're in lockdown, you know. And it was things like that, you know. And my wife said, oh, you know, you should write it about that. And but it's not, that's not what I did, but that was kind of influential in it being called Stand and Fight. So yeah, you know, it ended up just being at the same time, obviously everybody and their granny was on the internet giving their opinion of things and just having a good poke at people, you know, and putting people down. So yeah, that's where the trolls on the internet line and the song comes from.
Okay.
And I've got my own personal way of dealing with people like
Right, it
that.
sounds like a good one. Let's have a little listen then. Not all of it, but we'll play a little bit of Stand and Fight. Here we go.
Watch!
Yes, I love it. I love the lyrics, though, which we won't repeat. that was brilliant. I love it. I tell you what, it's so nice to play, even though only a few seconds, of some heavy rock music, some good heavy rock music, such as that, because normally on Love from Tony, I'm playing, relaxing love songs and what have you. So it's a, yeah. It's a really good contrast. So thank you. Thank you for that. Excellent stuff. Tell me about gigs and stuff. Are you doing any gigs in the near future?
Yeah, we are. Actually, we had a four-hour rehearsal yesterday afternoon, which was a very unusual thing for us because I live down in Northamptonshire, the drummer's in Cambridgeshire, you know, another guitar player's in Gloucester, and my other two, bass player and guitarist, are up in Glasgow. So getting together is just nigh on impossible, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And obviously in our everyday lives. So 4 hours yesterday, with a guitar around my necks, and we all hobbled out of there like the old men that we are, because you're not used to doing that, you know. So yeah, upcoming gigs. Yeah, our next gig is going to be the 26th of May, I believe. That's 2 days after my birthday.
Yay! Happy birthday for May.
Yeah, 63 at last, eh?
Ooh.
Well, you're saying nothing, I see, right? Anyway.
Well, no, you're younger than me. let's leave it there.
Yes, please. So, yeah, that's, Breaking Bands Festival brought over near Bromsgrove.
Excellent.
So that'll be interesting. I mean, we like to play sort of festivals, because obviously you get a bigger audience, you know.
So
that's, you know, what we concentrate on.
Excellent.
And we're doing that kind of thing throughout the rest of the year. We're playing at the Cambridge Rock Festival. And so, yeah, fantastic. It's good stuff, you know.
To our dear listener to this episode, we're talking in April 2024, because this could be listened to in a few years' time. They get excited about the Cambridge Festival.
And we won't be there.
We won't be there, yeah. Have you got any advice for people from other bands, whatever, whether they're heavy rock like yourselves or rock, about how to get on, how to try and get successful in the music industry? Because everybody's struggling a lot, aren't they? You know, even bands that have been around and very successful, sometimes they fall from grace. What's the trick, do you think?
Oh, I don't know. You know, like you say, it is very difficult, and you know, there is no money in the industry anymore. Mm. You know, we were talking about that yesterday. You know, it's like I think we have got 770,000 downloads. You know, all over the world, from countries all over the world. And I think that I got like £42 something back in royalties for that.
Yeah.
You know, it cost me £42 to buy a Chinese for the band.
It's so ridiculous, isn't it? And all out of proportion. So the only way you can make money is by doing live gigs, I suppose, and selling tickets and T-shirts.
Well, merchandise and stuff is probably the way to go for most people if you're playing and you're lucky enough to be playing at a bigger gig, yeah?
Mm.
You know, we don't do a lot on the merchandise front. And again, it's just purely financial. And, you know, I suppose we need to buy a card machine, and you've got to do all that and get yourself up to speed with the new world, you know, because obviously they're trying to get rid of cash, aren't they, in the planet, and nobody carries it anymore. And I don't know. Yeah, we just do what we do and carry on.
Why do you carry on?
Because we're musicians. It's like, you know, I'll jump up out of bed and go, oh, I've just heard this little tune in my head. And I'll go away and come back 5 minutes later, and it'll be a song. There'll be guitar, drums, singing. It'll be there. It might be a load of mumbo jumbo that I'm singing, but eventually I will sit and get lyrics to it. And my wife will just be like, oh, here he goes again, off he goes. But I can't stop it because it's just what you are. It's just what you are.
I understand. Tell me about Ozzy Osbourne.
Mad as a brush. You know, Ozzy was one crazy character, absolutely nuts. Meeting him was just so funny, you know. He came down to see the band rehearsing in London, and him and Sean turned up in his Rolls Royce, you know, parked outside the studio door, and we were just like, oh, here we go. And he came in, just sat down up the back of the rehearsal studio, and, you know, we played like three songs, and then he got up and he says, right, great, okay, you're on, you know, let's go to the pub. So we all climbed into his Rolls Royce, and they took us out for dinner and got absolutely bladdered, like, you know. And we ended up in this restaurant in London. What was it called? I think it's Trader Vic's, was it, maybe? Some crazy place. It was underneath this big posh hotel or something, anyway. And he was up on top of the table, you know, halfway through the dinner, because we drank so much, and he was buying these big, like, fruit bowl cocktails, you know. Wasn't it just 1 or 2 pints we went for, you know? And so he's buying this, and Sharon's like just counting the money, like, how much is this costing me, you know? And he's up on the table, and the place was full of all these people out for a real posh, swanky meal, you know. And he's got the T-shirt in the middle, and he just goes, I am OG. T-shirt ripped right down. Everybody's just going, who's this clown, you know? Obviously, not everybody knows who knew who he was. Mm. But, you know, I just remember we got out of there, a bit of skin in my teeth, obviously, and we're upstairs, and it's like, it was down in this basement, and there was big railings, and what's Ozzy doing? He's having a wee right down through the railings on top of people walking out the door to this restaurant. Right. So the Alamo wasn't the only thing that he'd done that to.
Oh dear. Bless Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, let's move on. That's another. Right, anyway. Don't look as though he's changed much.
No, I don't think he has. Gary, it's been fascinating to talk to you. Thank you so much for talking to me on Music Stories. There's a music story and a half, anyway, about Ozzy Osbourne. I wish you well with your future gigs and the music. Keep it coming, because it's very good. And say hi to the other members of Burnt Out Wreck, which is your band. And your website, which we'll put with the text that goes with this, is burntoutrec.com, and I'm sure there's lots of information there about what you're up to. And maybe we'll have a catch-up in 6 months, a year's time, see if anything's changed, and maybe you've bumped into Ozzy or anybody else.
Yeah. Me too. Yes. Oh, yeah. I've met too many people. Too many stories, isn't there? You've not got enough time to listen to all of it.
Well, we'll have to do another episode then. Thanks very much again, Gary Moats, for talking to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tony Lloyd, creating audio and film worldwide.